little silhouette of a man.
Scaramouche, Scaramouche, will you do the fandango?
Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
The White House leaks are small potatoes relative to things that are going on with leaking things about Syria or North Korea or leaking things about Iraq. Those are the types of leaks that are so treasonous that 150 years ago, people would have actually been hung for those types of leaks.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you. I make you laugh. I'm here to f***ing amuse you.
Well, is that, is that my cousin Vinny? Oh, Joe Pesci. There is a bit of a resemblance between Joe Pesci, the actor, who's a scream. And that was one of my favorite movies, of course, My Cousin Vinny. You don't look like you blend. Remember Marisa Tomei? That made her. Didn't she get the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress in that film, right, Raymond?
My cousin Tony.
So a man who knows a little bit about communications, one of the more successful communications directors in certainly recent White House memory, is Pat Buchanan, author and just someone we adore, and who's predicted so much of what's happened to America with unlimited immigration, the deindustrialization of the old Rust Belt, the rise of China. I mean, he's been so ahead of the curve on all these issues. He joins us now. Pat, it's, as always, great to talk to you. And, of course, your new book, The Battles That Made and Broke a President. How prophetic. Again, he's talking about Nixon, but some of these same lessons could be applied today. Pat Buchanan joins us now. Pat, how are you? Good to talk to you.
Doing fine. How are you doing?
So my cousin Tony, Anthony, vulgarity-laced rant. I have to wonder whether he was threw back a few before he called the New Yorker reporter. It sounds like drunk dialing or something. It's just a little off the hook comments about Reince Priebus and Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon, who's been waving the populist banner for years. Devoted himself to this agenda. Is that the role of a communications director, to be the commissar of leaks and so forth? What's happening?
I didn't see that as my franchise when Don Regan brought me into Reagan's White House. My guess is, Laura, there was a little stiffness at the senior staff meeting this morning.
Oh, can you imagine? No.
Brother. No, it was, and I agree with you about Bannon. He's kept a very low profile. And he's done his job in the White House, and I haven't seen him, you know, going out and seeking attention or publicity. And this looks like it dates to some real bad blood between on one side, you got Bannon and Spicer and Reince, who apparently didn't want this fella in there. The Mooch, as they call him. I don't know him.
He calls himself the Mooch, too, which I find most disturbing. He refers to himself in the third person and says, the Mooch is a straight talker. The Mooch is... Oh, come on.
The Mooch is going to fire everybody in the building.
Yeah, it's like Haig. I'm in charge now. It's like Alexander
right.
Haig moment.
I wonder if Vice President Pence is secure.
How does this advance the agenda?
I mean, the first kickoff thing, I watched it entirely, and there were a lot of, you know, I love so-and-so like a brother and all the rest
now,
of it,
please.
New York talk, but I thought it was pretty good a week ago on Friday, but this is a hard thing to recover from, I think, because it embellishes a certain image in the mind of the Mooch that it's going to be very, very difficult to change, and the bad blood revealed seems to me to point to a separation of somebody from the White House pretty soon.
Well, if you were brought in to advise at this point and say, this is how you kind of reorient this operation, where would you make the changes first?
Well, you know, I was talking to Shelley this morning, and she made a point. She said, you know, your experience in Reagan's White House and Nixon's under Haldeman and Reagan's under Don Regan, you know, which was a traditional, as a matter of fact, Haldeman built the house, you know, it was a very structured house, but it flowed well. You could get your ideas straight into the president on paper, and he was receptive to them, and Haldeman was an honest broker and would send them in. Then you're called in to see the president calls you, but it was a very structured situation there. It's hard, I mean, this is not at all, I mean, I don't see, I mean, when Scaramucci says, you know, I can fire anybody I want, I mean, that's not an authority anybody in the White House had except for the President of the United States through his chief of staff. So if I were there, it's hard to structure a White House for someone who doesn't really want a structure. And it's hard to believe that Donald Trump does. He seems to move from one favorite one moment to another favorite another moment and be pretty rough, frankly, on those who have fallen out of favor. And that doesn't make for a very pleasant White House or a very smooth working White House or a smooth working government. I mean, to me, I'm sure, I don't know you, but I know the Attorney General just fairly well. I've spoken with him several times. He's a very likable guy. He's a principled guy. He carries the ball for the populace inside the administration. And I was delighted he was appointed Attorney General.
Well, I think that the way this is unfolding should be a moment of real deep reflection for the president and the way he sees things occurring and comments made and so forth. But, you know, we keep hearing, and this was repeated today by reporters on various cable networks, that the president actually approves of this type of tough language. And he, in a sense, sent the mooch out to be the hitman. Let's listen.
I'll tell you who likes the way Anthony Scaramucci spoke yesterday, Donald J. Trump. And that is who Anthony is working for. It's who he's performing for. For Donald Trump, Reince Priebus in the White House represents the GOP. That is Paul Ryan's Wisconsin friend, and the GOP, Donald Trump feels like, doesn't truly back him, and we see that. So Reince is a cancer that Anthony can walk in and whack, and that's what he's doing.
Is it that simple, however, because Scaramucci himself is pro-abortion, pro-gay marriage, is a big globalist. He has this company, SkyBridge, that could very well be sold to a Chinese conglomerate. Some say has ties to the Chinese government, has to get approval from the government in order to do this because of the nature of the deal. But he's not a populist conservative. He was trashing Donald Trump during the campaign leading up to the primary, solidifying the primary win by the president. To me, that's very curious. Like, why Priebus is the problem? I mean,
I don't think so. I agree with you. I agree with you. I mean, Priebus does come out of the Hill, and he does come out of the traditional Republican circles. But look, as we've talked before, Laura, look, we're going to need the populist conservatives and the traditional conservatives, the Reaganite conservatives, both of whom, each of whom's got a part of the agenda that you can put together, I think, and put the party together. And that's the job of the president and the folks up on the Hill both to work together to do it. And I would hope that the president did not authorize or doesn't applaud the kind of language that Scaramucci used, because it's the sort of language which will, I mean, from which the populist base, a lot of the populist base of the party of Trump would really recoil. I mean, they're not those kinds of people. They don't talk like that.
Have you ever seen a comms director with this type of portfolio and this background, no real experience in communication?
Well, no, exactly. The communications director job was not only when I went in there, and again, this is, you can't compare them, I think now times are so different. The job of the communications director was basically to structure a communications shop, and it which has about six or seven subsidiaries, and get them all moving the same message at a particular time, and working with the president and the chief of staff, legislative people, everybody working together, as it will. It's like an army moving on an objective, and everybody's got to be aboard. Everybody's performing their duties, and you've set the put together the program, and everybody goes along with it. Even the President of the United States, obviously, who's your cleanup hitter, you go into him and say, sir, here's what we got in mind. How does it look to you? And we need you to do the big come in at the end here and bat and forth and give the big speech.
Yeah,
and the president's fine. Okay.
Yeah.
But that's a traditional operation. But here we've got all these independent lines into the president. It seems somewhat more like Kennedy's White House, where there was, Sorensen could go in and O'Donnell could go in and Bobby can come over when he wants, and everybody walks in and out when they want. And Kennedy, of course, had a comes off the Hill, and he had a Senate-type staff. But Nixon was very oriented to the chief of staff operation.
Well, and I think at this point, the question is whether Donald Trump wants to make this a more traditional White House. I mean, I don't think he does.
I don't know that he knows how to do it. I don't think he wants it. He's pleased with what he's doing. But let me say, I wrote this morning, it's been knocked off the front pages here, but this Mueller issue is, I think, very much on the president's mind, and deservedly so, because it's evolving from an investigation of Russian hacking and who did what, where I think the Trump people are basically innocent. I don't think they had any role in it at all. It's moving into where they bring in white-collar investigators and prosecutors, and I think they want to get into the finances of Trump and connections that way, and that becomes more of a criminal investigation. And it's open-ended, and Mueller's got a lot of authority, and he's a tough customer, and he's going to move, and he's not going to be impeded by any directive from Rosenstein. He's going to go ahead with his subpoenas and demand tax returns and things like that. And I think it's the realization of this down deep by the president that has caused the kind of that has unnerved him to a degree, and cause the kind of reaction we're getting about Rosenstein and about Senator Sessions and the rest.
Meanwhile, Congress has passed this new sanctions bill against Russia in a 98-2 vote. 98-2, as China is just announced that it plans to. Well, there's a big piece out I'm going to post on LauraIngraham.com about how China intends to dominate the semiconductor industry. They have a lot of extra cash that they're sprinkling around into huge investments, and they intend to dominate in rare earth materials that are needed for every cell phone and every computer, and now in semiconductors, and they're poised to do it.
Well, sure. They were a smaller economy than Italy at the turn of the century. Now, in some measures, they're as large as the United States. I mean, they're building up their military. They had something like $4 trillion in reserves as a result of their $4 trillion trade surpluses with the United States. And they're building their One Road, One Belt strategy to move them into Central Asia and to dominate Central Asia, the markets in South Asia, over to Africa. It's a grand plan and a grand scheme they got. And meanwhile, we're preparing our sixth war in the Middle East, I think, against Iran upcoming. And, you know, with Russia, my view is, look, we have problems with Mr. Putin. We got problems with Russia. But basically, the president was right in his instincts and his campaign that, look, let's work out something with the Russians where, you know, they help us, you know, smash the terrorists, and we work out some kind of deal with them. They're still a powerful, powerful country. And as Solzhenitsyn said, you know, Russia was a captive nation, too.
Well, exactly. Thinking of all the great novels, Russian novels, I was forced to read in my college days in Russian, Cancer Ward and all these.
The
movies are better. They're rough to read. They never end. Pat, if you had to make a decision about changing personnel in the White House, would it be if one had to go, Priebus or Scaramucci, which one would go?
Well, I think it's not my call. I don't know Scaramucci, and I do know Rents to a degree, but it's the president's call, and there's no doubt that who his current preference is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't look good for Priebus, that's for sure. But I just think it's hard to recover from this. There was a staffer who was speaking to Fox News last night. This was on Martha McCallum, and she just reported it, that staffers are in fear of their physical safety at the White House because of his approach to people and what he's saying to them. And that's hard to – I mean, I guess you could just fire everyone, but who are you going to get to work for you?
Physical safety?
Yeah. A little brass knuckles. I mean, I don't know. But the physical safety.
Team 6.
Well, I mean, it's a toxic atmosphere.
I remember, some of us were apprehensive about the orders that were coming down, but I can't recall any physical fear in there.
Well, I know. I'm after looking at the way he was looking
at
Reince.
We had a genial man in the Oval Office.
Yeah, that's true. You had someone who actually could keep it together. Pat Buchanan, great to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Always the velvet glove, never the brass knuckles. Don't go away.
The Laura Ingraham Show.